Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. Our discussion today will focus on youth mentoring. Thank you for listening, and with nothing else to say, let us begin. It's time for another episode of Disruptive Adventism, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking about mentoring, especially when it comes to mentoring youth and how to do it in a way that impacts their lives. And I have one of my good friends here with me. His name is Timothy Oliver. He is working in Kettering, Ohio at the moment. How's it going, Tim?
It's going good. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I mean, long time. We got to reconnect a couple of weeks ago, and I'm grateful that you are taking the time to do this podcast. So before we start, we always like to get to know our guest a little bit more. We like to get a little bit of background. So tell me, where are you from? What are you doing right now? What are some of the future plans? So go ahead.
Yeah, so I grew up, born and raised in Napa Valley, California, and I did not go to PUC. Instead, I ended up going to Walla Walla University, where a couple of my brothers were, and some of my friends also went that way. And it was a great 4 years. Just looking back, there were amazing times. And after that, I became a youth pastor for 2 years in Central California in the Bay Area. And I just in July came over to Kettering, Ohio, which is a totally unexpected move, but completely just the hand of God was definitely in that for sure.
That's awesome. Well, definitely a different, different time, time zone, but different. I'm talking about this season. It's colder.
I guess,
Walla Walla. Yeah, Walla Walla is.
But Ohio cold is a completely different cold. It's like it gets into your bones and you feel like you're just freezing from the inside out rather than the outside in. I don't know. Maybe it's the humidity or what. I don't know, but it's different, but it's still good. It's still,
yeah.
I like to see colors, so that's nice.
Well, that's awesome. That's great. Let's get to our topic today. So we were discussing, a couple of seconds before we started into the podcast and started to get into the topic. You've been doing some mentoring, right? So you've been doing some work with youth and mentoring youth. So explain to us, maybe start with a little bit of a definition. What is mentoring in your view?
Yeah, sure. So mentoring, when I think of that, it's basically you're walking with someone else and they just being a positive influence on them and not just telling them and teaching them, but showing them a good way to live.
Okay. So there's this process, as you're saying, like you're just walking with somebody.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the things that you're doing? How are you walking with youth in your context right now, since that's kind of your focus?
So right now I'm interning at Kettering Church. I'm not actually a full-time employee there or minister, although I do full-time hours, but that's a different story. So there's already a youth pastor there, Jason Calvert. Awesome guy, amazing person. And I would say actually he's a huge mentor of mine at this stage in life, just because I've been able to glean and learn a lot of things from him about youth ministry and just ministry in general, and how to just be effective and super loving. But I'd say he's my mentor. I'd say everybody needs a mentor in their life. Doesn't matter how old you are, 80 to 8 years old, everybody needs a mentor. You never grow out of that age. So right now I would say he's probably my primary mentor. And then for me right now, I jumped into this youth ministry that he's already been establishing for the past 2.5 years. So the kids already really trust him. They love him. They come and talk to him all the time. It's ridiculous. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. Ridiculous in a good way.
That's awesome.
So that you can tell he really built trust with them. And so here I am walking into their lives all of a sudden. And I've been in here for about 3 months now. It's late October. So July, August, September, October. Wow. 4 months. That's crazy already. So obviously you have to establish trust with people, build relationships. And I think a really important thing about mentoring is you don't want to view people. You don't want to view kids as a project. They're a human being and just have a care for them, for their well-being, for like, how are you doing? But yeah, so the ways that I've gotten involved here is, I'd say the most involvement I've had with mentoring per se would be through the worship band. So when I came here, there wasn't any music with the youth. And that was one of the things that we wanted to work on, me coming here, was developing a worship culture. And obviously worship goes way beyond music, but specifically focusing for me on the music element. And so I've been able to spend extra time with fewer kids and just really, you know, working on the music part. But as a part of that, you build trust and you build a closer knit relationship. So I'd say that's the biggest way that I have been mentoring here.
So as I understand it, you know, when I think about a mentor, I think someone that's walking with you, someone that's helping. But when you're talking about youth and maybe kind of like this, you know, the kids that you're encountering with or the youth that you're mentoring, what is some of the process that you're following? Because it's not, I mean, a mentor is someone that has more experience than you do. So for me, that's like, how are you making sure to give the experience or pass the baton to the next generation when it comes to music or other topics?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing for me is I need to constantly remind myself that it's okay to tell myself and potentially tell someone else, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the right thing in this situation is to do. To just keep a humble attitude and realize I don't have all the answers, even if they come to me and want to talk to me. And, you know, just to put on that pompous hat of, oh, yeah, I'm super religious and I'm a youth pastor. I know all the answers. Come and talk to me, anybody. But so passing the baton, first of all, I try to just maintain an attitude of humility in recognizing that I don't have the answers. But then second of all, to recognize, yeah, I have gone beyond their point in life and I've learned some things along the way. And the second thing, the humility, but then second thing is vulnerability. Obviously, appropriately, you don't want to just spill all of the guts out at them. Don't throw your pearls before swine. I'm not calling you swine, but you got to be careful. Got to have some sort of filter. But having a vulnerability to open up to them and so that, you know, they feel more comfortable opening up to you. And in order for them to have an attitude of teachability, you can't be, you know, is the word patronizing? Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want to be patronizing them like, oh, poor little child, let me come and help you because I am an amazing person and you're not. Let me bring you to an amazing place. So the teachability attitude towards the youth, like you don't want to be just like belittling them all the time. They're human beings. They're adults now. So instead of telling them things to do, asking them questions and treating them as an equal.
So there's this kind of like in the mentoring process, as you see it, there's this idea of, well, you're walking with this person, you're recognizing some vulnerability, and the steps that you're taking is for them to kind of copy, emulate some of the things that you have learned, but be their own person at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to create little Timmies. I want to create little Christs.
Oh, good. That's a good headliner. That's a one sentence. Like, I don't want to create, I don't want to create little, you know, myself, but I want to create little Christ. Okay, cool. Well, that's awesome. And how are you doing that in the process? Like, you know, there's a process and you kind of hit on some of the principles of mentoring. Do you meet with them on a regular basis? What do you do to expand the mentorship project, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my position is unique. Like I said before, I'm not like the youth pastor. I'm here for a year and then I'm gone. And so that's a frustrating thing, actually, in the places that I've been with Adventism, specifically, is that a lot of times it just seems like people view the youth pastor role as a stepping stone into the next thing. Therefore, you're there for like 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and then you're gone. But that hurts me to see And that's kind of what happened in my previous position, because you get into their lives, it takes like a year to really build solid trust. And then after that, you're starting to really develop that greater bond. And then all of a sudden you're gone. The youth years, the middle school years, I feel like that's the time when you need the most consistency. You need someone who's there all the time for you, who can walk with you and really support you in that way. And so I believe we do a disservice by creating these 2-year positions for youth where you're there and then you're gone. It hurts. I forgot your question.
No. You're kind of hitting into it a little bit when it comes to the idea of, you know, just, well, the reality is that mentoring takes time. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of asking, what are some of the things that you're doing right now for mentoring? But you're tackling another area that we definitely need to talk about, which is mentoring is not I'm here and I'm entering into your life, but it's a more long time process that it's not just like, I'm here, I mentor you, I'm out.
Right.
More like, I'm going to walk with you. Like you said, I like that idea. I'm going to keep walking with you. And maybe you're going to hit places that I have never, you know, been, or ideas that I will never encounter. And then you can reverse the mentoring process, and you are mentoring me now. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I like that. So, but again, going back to the question is, what are some of the things that you're doing, some of the activities that you're doing on a regular basis to mentor?
Yeah. So when I look back at my 2 years in California, the fondest memories and the times that I feel like I was the closest to my youth there was the times when we were having fun. And I look back and I'm like, wow, why didn't we have more fun? And so I'd say, coming here now, this youth ministry, we have a lot of fun. We have a ton of Jesus. Jesus is everywhere, always involved, but we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of activities in the youth room itself. Like this might be a little controversial for some people, but we have game consoles in the youth room where they can just come and play and just be themselves. The goal for that is not to be like, oh, what are they into, so we can manipulate them to come to church. No, it's like, we want to create a safe space where they can feel like they're themselves. They can be themselves. They don't have to put on a mask when they walk into church, but they maintain who they are as they come into church. And that's one of the things. So having a lot of fun. And then of course for me, my unique position, a lot of music, focusing on music with the bands, and just, I keep telling them, I was like, guys, I don't want to drain you. If this is too much, then let's slow down. I'm here to give you guys a great experience. So if it becomes too much, I'm not trying to make your life crazier. I want you to have a fuller experience with God.
Right. So there is this kind of pacing that you're trying to, I mean, as I hear you, that's kind of like the idea that comes to mind. It's like, as a mentor, you're pacing through with them, you know, and seeing, maybe this week is a little too much, let me kind of go a little bit slower and then continue maybe later as you're going through that.
Yeah. And yeah, so like those fun moments though, there's always a purpose. There should always be a purpose behind everything you do in life. Not just mindlessly just meandering around, but walking a specific direction. So everything we do has a purpose. And the ultimate goal, the ultimate purpose is to create and hope to enhance that unity between the person and God. And so through that fun, not just mindlessly doing something, but knowing that there is actually a reason why we're having this mindless activity right now, where we're bonding between each other and we're in this church environment, because that comfortability that's here hopefully will translate to that comfortability when it's time to be vulnerable, when it's time that they need help, they need someone, they'll think of church, they'll think of the ministers, they'll think of those times where they could be themselves. Well, maybe they can be themselves now in this way and get some help.
When I hear you say that, I kind of remember my time as a teenager at church. You know, I didn't have a youth pastor. I went to Spanish church, outside of America and here in America as well. And I didn't have that time where I could open up to people. And I think that's very important. And especially when it comes to mentoring others, when it comes to thinking about opening up, is having a safe space. So definitely I resonate with what you're saying. because it helps me see that you guys are creating that space. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a challenge for us as Adventists to create that space more often. And even the local churches that do not have a youth pastor per se, like a position, a paid position, or maybe an intern that comes and helps out, mm-hmm. but just a youth leader that's there, you know, for a longer period of time, that has the ability to impact, that is not hired by the conference, but that just, you know, is there with them mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and has that ability because works in the local context. And I think that I really, really resonate with what you're saying. Something that I kind of want to go into, and maybe this is a very important question, is what are some of the roadblocks that you have had mentoring youth? Because mentoring is a very difficult, it's very difficult to do. You know, we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time as if like, oh, everybody needs to be mentored. You need to have a mentor, but it's hard to keep up with people.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in the professional environment, it's really, really rough. So what are some of the challenges that you have faced when mentoring youth?
Yeah, well, man. So one of them would be coming from where I was for 2 years. I still really care about the kids there. They're not kids, they're adults. They're just little adults. But I still care about them. And so I've tried my best to stay in contact with them and just kind of text them, or sometimes I call some of them. But, you know, like it's really hard because they start opening up as you leave.
Mm.
And so not being able to be there for them in person, it kind of hurts me a little bit. I wish I could be. But you know, so an obstacle would be that short time span that we give ourselves within this Adventist minister's culture when it comes to youth ministry, of like, I'm here, I create the bond, and now I'm gone. What do I do now? And honestly, like I said, the first thing, humility, I don't know what to do. I don't have the answer for that. But I just try and stay in contact, check up with them. And so that's an obstacle, is the short time frame that you have with the youth a lot of times. But then another one I would say is when to know the time to transition from the fun to the real.
Mm.
You know, you should always be real the whole time, but like, when do you start that explicit, very intentional time to get real?
Mm. You know, as you were mentioning that, I wish that we didn't do that two-sided view
mm-hmm.
of fun and real.
Huh.
You know, I wish we would say fun can be real
yeah.
and real is fun. Like, I mean, reality is fun. It's just that we are so conditioned to think of reality as not fun.
Mm.
So it's like, well, let's talk about the deep topics. Like, you know, Jesus is real, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But having time with Jesus, I mean, that's fun to me. And I think we have done that kind of like, well, you either have fun or you have Jesus, you know?
That's so true. Wow.
And I think with mentoring especially, like, you know, where you're trying to impact someone's lives,
mm-hmm.
I think what I see mentoring doing, or what I see the importance of mentoring, or someone that is really a believer in mentoring, is you need to make sure that whatever you're telling them to do, or kind of guiding them, maybe not telling them, forcing them, but mm-hmm. when you're guiding a person to do something, you need to make sure that person understands that this is going to be the rest of their life.
Yes.
And this guidance that you're providing, this process is fun. It's It's not just like, okay, well, just have fun in this time and then you can be real, but like integrating them. I think it's a difficulty, and I think we need to move forward. Mm-hmm. But I really understand what you're saying. So, I mean, let's talk about, we have this two-sided coin that we have kind of created, but how are you transitioning yourself right now? What is it that you're kind of creating an avenue to understand life and understand, well, you know, the real topics of life, what we talk about, the seriousness, you know, of mm-hmm. life, how you're integrating that in spirituality, of course,
yeah.
in the mentoring process.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so glad you brought those two things together. So Jason, the youth pastor here, he has this phrase that I love, and he says, seriousness is not a fruit of the spirit, but joy is.
I love it.
It's like it's going to exactly what you're saying right there. It's like it doesn't have to be two sides of the coin. It could be a bouncy ball. It could be a bouncy ball that's jumping around. The spirituality, the fun, Jesus, excitement, joy, all that stuff. It's all one. I love that. And so we did a youth conference, a youth rally, a month or two ago, and something we decided to do, it was fun. So what we did is the first day when they walked in on their seats, we had those little tiny wooden airplanes. You know, you get in that little bag, you open it up, and you stick the wing inside the body, and you put that little weight on the nose, and you could throw it. We had those there. And at the beginning, before we got into the program, we just kind of encouraged that excitement, that joy, that fun. And you know, there's some things that I think we're afraid to do because we're like, oh, but we're getting into a spiritual moment, like, why are they smiling and laughing and talking with each other? This isn't good. No, this is really good. Because I really believe in that joy, that excitement, because if you can't be excited with Jesus, well, you're going to be excited somewhere else. And that may not be a good place to be. Mm. So that transition you were asking about, I'm really glad you reminded me of that, that getting real doesn't have to be gloomy and serious faces and all that. But it can be within the midst of that joy. And
yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That's awesome. Let's go into maybe a couple of other topics when it comes to mentoring and maybe some ideas that you may have for the future. Like, you know, of course you are in a very unique environment, but mentoring is not all encompassing only of youth, you know, mm-hmm. adults need mentoring too. Yeah. What are some ideas that you're thinking or that you have seen as you're being mentored by your youth pastor mm-hmm. and as you're mentoring other young adults and youth? What are some of the, let's move forward into this conversation of mentoring and especially youth mentoring. How can we move forward to a healthier picture of mentoring? What are some of the practical things that we can put into action in mm-hmm. the next couple of, I mean, decades or years, you know, whatever it is?
Yeah, I think going back to that first thing, the humility, and I talked about the teachability of the kid, but I believe we also as mentors need to possess that mindset of teachability, of recognizing we don't have all the answers. And like you were saying, this kid that I'm quotes mentoring is in some ways going to teach me things. I think that's a really important thing that you brought up. And so going forward with all this mentoring, I think learning, because someday we're going to be those old geezers in church that those young kids are going to be looking at, be like, they don't let us do anything. They don't let us bring our guitar up front or our cajon or our trap set or the bass or, you know, all these sorts of things. Like, we're going to be those people someday. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important right now to recognize that and to be like, okay, we need to allow the youth the freedom to move. And so I don't know if that's really hitting what you're really asking, but yeah, so you can only control yourself, of course.
No, you're definitely hitting, like, you know, a certain section that is like moving forward. I think the key word that you mentioned is freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to mentoring, sometimes we feel as if we have to control the other person mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and kind of make them mold to our journey. Of course, that could be somebody maybe hearing or listening to the podcast will be, well, that's a toxic way of understanding mentoring. And I agree, you know, it is a toxic way, mm-hmm. but sometimes that's the way that usually gets done, or at least that I have seen it, where you have someone understood, you know, someone that has a mentoring experience, and they end up just becoming another version of their mentor mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of another version of Christ, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, we have so much influence with people that people start copying us. And if we're not copying Christ, if we're not copying the models or the profiles, because, I mean, we're all fallible at the end of the day.
Yep. Lord, have mercy on anyone who tries to emulate me completely.
Oof. Yeah. me too, man. I mean, the reality is like we're all fallible. And sometimes I think with mentoring, there's a fine line between mentoring and copying. There's a fine line between mentoring and abuse of power and authority.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So I think that those things, when you're talking about freedom, when you're talking about remembering being teachable ourselves, the mentors, being and remembering that, you know, these individuals need to be teachable as well. But it's just like flexibility and freedom go hand to hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So I definitely understand what you're saying. And I mean, there are challenges that we can overcome. But when it comes to mentoring, I think that's the main idea that we need to hit, that is important to be closer to one another and to be teachable, to be aware of our shortcomings, maybe.
Yeah.
As we're saying. Okay. Well, as we start closing out, what are some of the projects that you're engaging in the future, like coming up? What are the big moments that you're seeing, you know, the kids that you're mentoring shining? Because I think as a part of mentoring, it's to look forward to, hey, what's your big project? How are you going to shine and carry out what I've been teaching you or what I've been helping you with as I've been walking?
Well, anyone listening to this podcast doesn't see my huge grin, but I'm actually really excited about what's coming. And this has to do with the music. So we've been doing, we call it Perichoresis Worship, PW. And that's the band. And I've been playing with them the first month, we do once a month, practice every week almost. I led most of the songs. The second month, I led like one song. This month, this next time, I'm not singing any of the songs or anything like that. And I'm phasing myself out, but it's coming to a point where I haven't told them this yet, but after this month, next month, I'm not going to be playing with them. They're playing alone. And right now they really depend on my leadership up there. It's pretty obvious. They keep looking at me for cues or watching me and my rhythm or something. But I'm stepping away next month, and I'm super excited about this because they're going to freak out. But sometimes you need to just do that little nudge to get them off the cliff. They're right there, but you just need to let them fly, you know? And this is a principle that Andy Stanley talks about in Deep and Wide, his book that I'm in the middle of, and I'm loving. But it's a super important principle that I believe is just awesome because, okay, I'll just tell you it before I actually say why I love it. but what it is he's saying, put people in ministry positions before they're ready.
Okay.
And it's part of that teachability. Because if you tell somebody like, I want you to do this, and they're like, oh, I can't do it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need to rely on God. Good. You need to rely on God. You're ready to be taught. You're ready for someone to come and help and mentor you. They have that attitude of teachability. And so he says the people I'm most scared about are the ones who are like, yeah, I'm ready for this, I can do this, I know what I'm doing. Those are the people he worries about when he's trying to fill a position. So what I'm excited about right now is I'm making them leap. I'm not gonna hold their hand this whole time. I keep telling them, I'm like, hey, I'm phasing myself out and I'm not going to be a part of this eventually. And one of them was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you're here. Come on. People have told us that before, but like they don't see it come. So I'm excited about that. So that principle of just letting go, letting them mess up. That's another thing he talks about, is like, as a leader, you don't want to have such a grip on people that you're just like micromanaging every little thing. Like, you want to give them the space to mess up, because those are the places you grow the most.
I really, really resonate with that. I think what you're talking about is maybe like kind of like towards the end of like the mentoring process, where it's like you're teaching them, you're kind of walking with them, but then it's like, well, they kind of have to walk alone at the end of the day. They have to they have to get to that point where they're doing it on their own and they're going to mess up, which I think failure is necessary to be empowered. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, maybe like a week and a half ago in our empowerment intro. It's like failure is necessary. You know, it's part of the process. So definitely part of the mentoring process. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps you learn. at the end of the day. So definitely the mentoring, as you're seeing the mentoring process, as you're talking about it, that last section, definitely you're letting them go. I guess if they hear this podcast, they're going to be like, wait, what, next month? So Pastor Timmy is not joking. Like, he is actually going to do it. So he said it in public. So he might as well come through, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm excited to see how it goes. I mean, I'm excited to see how things turn out for the mentoring process for you guys. And, well, all blessings. Thanks again for being on the podcast. And, you know, I appreciate your time. This half an hour talking about youth mentoring, talking about mentoring and you know, different parts of the process. So definitely appreciate your time here. As is our custom, we always let our guests have the final word. So if you want to say a couple of extra things when it comes to the topic of mentoring and or youth ministry, how can we move forward? You know, those are some important things. So go ahead with the final word.
Man, okay, the final word, I'd say just like put yourself out there. You have something to teach someone else. Don't be down on yourself and being like, I know nothing. Everybody started somewhere. I don't got anything deep or thoughtful, but just I would say actually apart from mentoring, which this is for everything in life, just keep God at the center of it. And I say that, but it's so much harder to actually do. Put God in every situation you find yourself in. That doesn't mean explicitly saying stuff about him, because sometimes it's just by your actions, just by the way you're living. But don't forget him in the process.
That was our conversation on youth mentoring with Timothy Oliver. We are glad that you're enjoying this series, and we hope that you tune in for our last installment on our next podcast. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to our podcast and ask that you share it with others. Please leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. If you're enjoying our content, we want to invite you to consider contributing to our cause by becoming a patron, where you will receive exclusive content, have the ability to sit down with the Disruptive Adventism team, and ask relevant questions for Adventism and society. If you're interested in contributing, head to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Another avenue for contribution is to purchase our merchandise through Amazon or tpublic.com. You can find the links to our merchandise on our Facebook or Instagram pages. We also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.